And I looked at it and I thought, wow, this is a federal grand jury subpoena to Reason magazine.
You may have heard about the scary situation Reason.com was recently in. The U.S. Justice Department sent a grand jury subpoena and letter to Reason commanding editors to hand over the records of six anonymous commenters who wrote hyperbolic statements about federal judge Catherine Forrest. She's the judge who sentenced Ross Ulbricht or Dread Pirate Roberts to life in prison without parole for creating the Silk Road website. And to make matters worse, the DOJ later requested a gag order from the U.S. District Court, which they got, meaning Reason couldn't write or speak publicly about what was going on. But even so, the story still leaked.
I got an email, and I looked at it, and I thought, wow, this is a federal grand jury subpoena to Reason magazine for commenter data to identify people who are anonymously commenting.
That's Ken White, a former federal prosecutor and writer at the legal blog Popat. He was the one who was able to break the story.
Oh, so you didn't even know who this person was or is?
I did not. I just looked enough to figure out it didn't appear to be from anyone at Reason.
Do you know now?
I don't know for certain, but all the indications to me suggest it's a commenter.
And so White contacted everyone involved to try and figure out what happened.
First, I emailed Reason. I reached out to Nick Gillespie and asked if I could get a comment, and he said no. So armed with that, I called the assistant U.S. attorney and asked him if he could comment. And I told him that I was going to run a story about this subpoena unless he could convince me that there was some actual danger to life involved here. So I succeeded in getting him to say things like, well, how can we know whether these people are real danger until we investigate them? And we have to investigate everyone. And that satisfied me. There was no secret evidence that these people were, you know, out with a bomb or something like that. And I got a little pushback, a little threat. We're going to have to look into how you got this, so forth. And so that convinced me, all right, this is a story I'm going to write. After the assistant U.S. attorney talked to Reason's lawyer and found out that Reason was planning on informing the commenters, look, the subpoena came in. If you want to stop it, that's in your court. You know, we can't. Once he found that out, he immediately went to the judge and asked for a gag order under this internet provision. Usually, federal grand jury subpoenas don't carry a gag order. Now, they will carry a scary letter to you if you get one saying there's no legal prohibition on you telling people about this, but if you do, I just want to let you know that we, the United States Department of Justice, might conclude that you're interfering with a federal grand jury investigation. What's upsetting is that there's no indication whatsoever, either that the prosecutor or the judge gave any consideration to the fact that this was being aimed at a reporting organization about a First Amendment issue.
White's story raised serious questions about press freedom and open expression online. And it was all over comments like, it's judges like these that should be taken out back and shot, as well as shoot them out front on the steps of the courthouse. And of course, why waste ammunition? Wood chippers get the message across clearly, especially if you feed them in feet first, a reference to the Oscar-winning movie Fargo.
And these statements, they're hyperbolic statements, they're perhaps juvenile statements, but they're pretty par for the course for the internet and really Reason.com. Can you talk about that for us?
Absolutely. Some of them I would characterize as mild by internet standards and certainly by Reason standards. I mean, one of them says, I hope that there's a hot place in hell for the judge who gave this guy the life sentence. Now, there's no stretch of the imagination is that a threat. If it is, then 50% of what's written on the internet is a threat, and, you know, 49% is porn. So the commenter does not have the power to consign the judge to hell, presuming that the commenter is God, which I sincerely hope.
The U.S. Attorney's Office was ostensibly looking for evidence of a true threat. Can you define a true threat under the law for us?
Sure. Some threats, like, you know, I ought to go punch Donald Trump in the nose, something like that, are not true threats. They're protected by the First Amendment because no one would interpret them to be real. A true threat is a threat that's outside the protection of the First Amendment. And the core of it is that it has to be something that objectively a reasonable person looking at the threat and familiar with the context of the threat would think was a sincere expression of an intent to do harm. Now, there's also an issue now of what subjective intent there has to be to convict you. Okay, that was before the Supreme Court this term. They punted, they didn't clarify it completely, but what they did indicate is that there is also a subjective element. It's pretty clear that either you have to intend that your words be taken for real, intend that people think you really mean to harm somebody, or at least you have to be reckless about it.
But White says while that may be the law, that doesn't stop federal prosecutors from sending out subpoenas trying to dig up info wherever they can.
The U.S. Attorney's Office position seems to be, well, we're entitled to find out. We don't have to have a case that we can win on at the time we send a grand jury subpoena. And unfortunately, they have law supporting them. So there was a case in Washington, D.C., and this was during the 2012 presidential election. Michelle Bachmann was a candidate for the Republican nomination, somewhat colorful one, and there was a colorful character on Twitter who said something effective, you know, something horrible should happen to Michelle Bachmann with a Vietnam-era machete. I don't remember the details, but it was gross. Any rational person moderately familiar with Twitter or with American discourse would say, okay, that's someone blowing off steam, that's someone playing a character. But the government subpoenaed Twitter to get the person's identity. And what the judge rather disappointingly said was, well, it's clearly not a true threat. We think it's clear you couldn't charge someone based on this. It would be dismissed if you did. You couldn't convict them. It would be overturned if you did. But the government's interest in seeing whether or not there are real threats out there justify doing this to try to get this person's identity. So the judge sort of built up the American value of anonymity and the First Amendment only to say that the government's alleged interest in finding people who are bloviating justifies piercing that.
Do you think the reason was targeted?
I don't think so. In other words, I don't think that the U.S. attorney in New York or the assistant U.S. attorney thought, I hate libertarians, I particularly hate mouthy libertarians, I'm going to strike my blow by sending the subpoena to Reason.
That's pretty much who we are, is mouthy libertarians.
Well, I think I saw it on the door when I came in.
Oh, yeah. The
more likely it's just like, you know, a fish doesn't know that it's in water. A federal prosecutor doesn't know they're swimming in power. They could do it, so they did. There's no particular reason for them not to, because there's really no consequences most of the time when they violate rights or break the law. So why not do it?
White says that what we're really talking about here is the power of government.
A federal prosecutor has a really enormous amount of power over human lives, not just by taking a case to trial and getting someone convicted and sent to federal prison, but just by using the mechanism of the federal criminal justice system. Sending a grand jury subpoena to someone, telling someone they're under investigation. These are all life-changing things, potentially. And being under investigation is something, if you hire lawyers and defend yourselves, it could cost you every penny you have. And what I saw as a federal prosecutor was that it was very easy to wield those powers without really reflecting on the fact that you're wielding them. And this is power very often given to quite young people.
The most significant takeaway that comes from what happened to Reason and these six commenters may be how open expression of any stripe will be perceived online.
Does it present a chilling effect? I mean, for people that want to use the internet?
I think it does, and unfortunately, I think it's more likely to chill the people who are reflective about what they say than the people who aren't. I think people who have a tendency to talk about wood chippers are going to keep talking about wood chippers pretty much the same. But I think responsible people who care about what they're talking about are always going to be reflecting. You know, should I use that analogy? Should I use that metaphor? Is this a time for that purple prose? Can I make the Shakespeare comment about killing all the lawyers? Can I make that cultural TV, movie, internet meme reference? Or is some person somewhere going to get upset? And I think people are going to perceive correctly that the time when they're most likely to run into trouble is when they're commenting about the powerful, when they're commenting about judges, politicians, people with real power, because those are the ones who can pick up the phone and get an assistant United States attorney to issue a federal grand jury subpoena.
Do you have any tips for Reason.com commenters?
Well, I hear there's a sale on wood chippers at Osh. Beyond that, I would say there's what you can do and what you should do. I absolutely believe in vigorously expressing yourself. I believe in criticizing harshly the federal government when it does things like carrying out an amoral and ruinous war on drugs. But on the other hand, I think that people could have been a lot more convincing on the topic of how, frankly, evil that sentence was than by talking about shooting people or putting them in wood chippers. Frankly, shooting people seems to be more the government thing.